I was watching Anna this morning as she was coming up from the car to the door. And she was hopping and skipping and jumping and running and just couldn't wait to get into the church. What's wrong with the rest of us? Come dragging in. Morning, Pastor. Okay, so we're getting there anyway. Amen. That's something. That is. It's good. I'm not complaining. I'm glad. I'm glad for the little ones that have that, because that's pretty precious right there. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We were here last week and thinking about Timothy's mother and his grandmother and how God just blessed Timothy's life through them, and how moms do that, and it's an awesome thing. And yet, Paul had more than just a Mother's Day message for Timothy. He had a word for him, and I want us to explore the next couple of verses here, because Paul is going back with Timothy here in this. We're really in the fifth verse was really where we were focused, but Paul was really reminding Timothy of where he'd come from, of what God had done in his life up to this point. And may I just say this to you all, some of us need to be reminded of where we are and where we've been and what God has done already in our lives and what He's in the process of doing. We need to be reminded of that. Because sometimes we forget. We're forgetful sometimes. And we just lose sight. And we don't really mean to. We don't intend to. But sometimes we do. And we need to constantly be aware of what God has saved us from. That's what's going to make the Lord's Supper meaningful here in a moment. It's not just another moment in our worship service. It's not just another thing we do at church. It's a time when we come into the presence of God deeply aware and mindful of who we are and what we are and what Christ has done in our heart, what He's done in our life. And so now, building from that, we're going to look in the 6th and the 7th verses of this first chapter of 2 Timothy this morning and just focus in on Paul's message to Timothy. So let's look at that. And if you're able to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, would you stand with me? If you're not, hey, that's not a problem. Just be standing up on the inside. Amen. And 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6 says, "Wherefore, or in light of everything that I've just said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Well, let's bow. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, speak to us clearly today, because we need a clear word from you. And Father, I pray you would hide me behind the cross that I might not be seen or heard, but God, that every heart, every person would be drawn to you today, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up, that every person would be drawn to Him. And I pray especially for those in need today. And I realize, Lord, we're all in need, but Father, there are some especially today who need your touch and your help, your strength, your healing, your power, your salvation. Lord, would you meet with us exactly where we are and change us, oh God. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, so there's several thoughts here that I want us to focus in on. But here's kind of the thing that Paul has for Timothy. He says, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." And literally that word there in the language It means literally to rekindle the fire. A few years ago, I remember we were at fish camp, Brother Wayne, and we were having one of our devotional times there at the campfire, and it's not all fun and games. Just mostly fun and games. But we had some serious times with the Lord. And on that night, I remember we had a group of guys all gathered around the campfire, and we were just sharing some things. And I used an illustration that had been given to me years ago, and some of you have heard it or used it yourself maybe. But I reached into that fire with a stick, and I pulled one of those glowing red-hot coals out of the middle of the fire. Just pulled it out to the edge of the fire. And really didn't say anything. Just pulled it out and let it sit there for a minute. Another minute. A little longer. And everybody was looking at this coal that had been pulled out of the fire. I mean, it was just glowing red hot with flame. But I pulled it out and I let it sit there on the edge of the fire, and something began to happen. It began to lose its flame. It began to lose the glow and the fire and the heat. And it began to darken. And it didn't take long. It didn't take that long until that coal that was on fire, it was absolutely burning up, was just a dark chunk of charcoal, basically. And as I looked at that, I thought about that, I just thought, that's the way we are. It doesn't take us long and it doesn't take us far to get from the Lord before we start losing the flame. We start losing the fire. We start missing the passion. And what do you got when you take the passion out of the Christian life? You got misery. You got religious misery. And that's where a bunch of folks are this morning. They're sitting in church, this church or any church. They're sitting in church, but honestly, it's the last place in the world they really want to be. Why? Because they've lost their passion. They've lost their hunger. They've lost their desire for God. And without it, what use is singing songs? What use is praying prayers and taking offerings and fellowship time and all the Lord's Supper and all the other stuff we do and listening to a preacher rant and rave? What good is all of that? And honestly, it's not much if you've lost your passion. But you know, it only took a moment to push that coal back into the fire. Push it back in there and then watch. And suddenly the flame that had been there was rekindled. And it was there again. And it was glowing red hot. Well, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take long for us to move away from the Lord. And you don't have to move far. That's the thing that sometimes we don't grasp. You don't have to go a long way out into the world. You don't have to go a long way out into sin before the devil is able to rob you of your joy and rob you of your peace and keep you from experiencing the passion and the wonder of Jesus. But that's exactly what he'll do. Folks, it's not far either back to the Lord. It doesn't take long, and it's not that big a deal to him to rekindle that flame. Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift. Some of us this morning need to stir up the gift that's been given to us. Because frankly, some of us have been sitting for too long. I got in on the tail end of Brother Garland cooking a big pot of gravy this morning. And I mean, if you've never experienced it, it's kind of an intense thing. Number one, because everybody in the kitchen, and there's five or six guys in there working and helping and just giving a hard time, but they're all giving Garland a hard time about his gravy. And he's got this kind of worried expression on his face, and he's stirring. He's stirring the pot. Why? Well, all you cooks out there know the answer to that. If you don't stir, what happens? Scorches. Nasty mess, throw it out. You got to keep stirring that pot and hope it thickens up. And we were joking we would have to drink it with a straw this morning, but we didn't have to. Hey, some of us just need to be stirred. We just need to be stirred up. We've gotten too comfortable. We've gotten too complacent. We've got set in our pew and set in our ways, and this is what we do, and this is who we are, and that's it. And we've given up on God changing us. We've compromised by just quitting. Right here where we are. Well, I'm in church, Brother Tim. What do you want? Man, I want you to be in church. But I don't want you just in the church. I want you to be on fire for God in the church. And I want this congregation, when we get together, it's like a flame. And as we get together, it just builds our fire. And it just strengthens and encourages. Because here's what happens when we come together. And guess what? The preacher's just kind of, well, you know, just so-so today. Just, you know, he just showed up. No fire. Well, preachers have those days. Okay? Just like the rest of you. But you see, what greater thing is it if that Sunday school teacher or that worship leader or that person taking the offering or that person greeting you at the door, that person shaking your hand and fellowshipping with you, what greater effect does it have when we're just burning with the fire of God? When we're excited about the things of God, and we're just in love with Jesus. And today our focus is not on what time we get out. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's some churches that have a God hanging on the wall behind the preacher. And when it hits noon, they're done, whether he is or not, whether God is or not. And I'm going to tell you, that's the furthest thing. I mean, I understand in North America, you know, we're time conscious. We're driven by the clock and all that. I realize that. I mean, I don't realize that real well. But I kind of realize that. I sort of vaguely get it. But oh, listen, we're not to be driven by that. We're to be focused on the Lord, excited about Him. Nothing else matters. I want to encourage you today, stir up the gift that is in you. Now, you may say, well, what is this gift? Well, I think the gift, first of all, and primarily, is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the gift. When you get saved, God does some amazing things, but one of the most amazing is He gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, indwell you, is one of the words we use, and that's kind of unique to, you know, I don't hear that word used for very many other things, but the Holy Spirit comes to make His residence inside of us. And He lives within us. And so what that means is that every person you speak to this morning who's born again, who's saved, you're speaking to the Holy Spirit within them. That means everybody you throw your nose up at, well, I'm not going to speak to Tara today because she didn't speak to me the other day. Well, you're turning your nose up at Tara, but you're turning your nose up at the Holy Spirit within Tara. And how can there be unity in the body? How can there be peace and joy and love in the body when we're not recognizing the Spirit of God? We're not discerning the Lord's body. What Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 11. We're not discerning what God is doing in, not only in our life, but in the lives of other believers. Well, I can't believe what she's wearing. Did you see his hair? Looks like a toddler got a hold of him. Give him a haircut. I mean, we can just be all catty and whiny and gripey and grouchy and moaning about this and groaning about that. And all that does is it reflects the fact that our coal has been pulled away from the center of the fire. And we're sitting on the outer edge and we're getting dark and cold. And we need to be rekindled. We need to be lit up. We need to be fired up for Jesus. We need to get over ourselves. We need to begin to live out the words of, that Paul gives us here. Not enough to get saved. Now, I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you're going to heaven. I look forward to spending eternity with you. Somebody asked me, "Preacher, you've been here 25 years?" Yeah. I mean, the Great Tribulation's only 7 years. And the Lord shortened it because, you know, if He hadn't, then not even the elect would have survived it. That's what the Scripture says. Whew. Bless your hearts. Yeah. Well, stir up the gift of God that is within you. Well, now, the Holy Spirit is the gift, but He manifests Himself in various kinds of ways. He gives to people different giftings, or talents, or abilities. Different things that we can do to honor the Lord. And it's not purely a natural gift or natural talent. You know, we look at some people and we just say, oh, he's a gifted speaker. Or this, you know, person can really sing. Or this person's good with numbers. Or, you know, whatever. It's not just that. God may use some of those natural abilities that we already have. But He gives us spiritual gifts that we can use in the body. And the body is, it's an amazing thing. I mean, our human physical body is an amazing thing. But the body of Christ, a local body of believers that God pulls together, puts together, that's an amazing thing, Michael. I mean, think about this. If a Baptist, if we had a committee, okay? If we had a committee who was in charge of putting the body together, I think it'd be hilarious, but it would be frustrating out the wazoo. It'd be crazy because it's something that, pretty much. But it's something the Lord has to do. We can't do it. But He does it. He does this amazing thing, and every member of the body is important. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, well, I'm not important in this church. You know what? You're wrong about that. Your life and your gifting and what God has done in you is incredibly important. You say, but I don't know. I don't have, I'm not a teacher and I can't do this. And I can't. Look, you can be everything that God, through the Holy Spirit, wants you to be and needs you to be in the life of this body. Now, you know, I've got members of my body, my physical body, that I don't know that they're essential. They tell me they can remove my appendix. Still have it, I think, at this point. But they say they can remove that and it doesn't make a bit of difference. Although I've got a feeling that God created that for something in there. There's a reason for it. But every member of the body of Christ is so important. And, you know, what is in view here? Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 14, he said to us, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery, or the elders. And the focus is not on the laying on of hands. It's not about the means of transmission here so much as it is the fact that God has given Timothy a gift. And Paul is concerned because Paul wants to see Timothy utilize the gift that he's been given. Paul cared deeply about Timothy. And that leads me to a question today. And I know part of the answer, but my question is, where are our Pauls today? Where are those people today who are deeply concerned about the lives, the spiritual life of those who are coming behind them? Paul knew that he was facing his departure. This is his his swan song, if you will, 2 Timothy. He's writing his final letter right here. He knows he's about to leave this world. And he's writing to Timothy. He's in passion for Timothy. He is concerned for Timothy. Why? Because he wants to see Timothy used by God. Where are our Pauls today? Who would stand and say, I want so much to see my children, my grandchildren, the young people of our church, people around me. I want so much to see them follow the Lord, utilize the gifting that they have, become the man of God, the woman of God that He has called them to be. Where are our people like that? You say, well, I can point you to some of them right here. And I can too. But I want to say to you, that's part of the work of ministry of the entire body. It's not just a part of our youth workers. It's not of our Sunday school teachers or our Awanas or, you know, some other group of ministry folks in this church. It's the whole work of the whole body. And we need to be vitally concerned with every member. Well, you know, I don't think I've seen Sister so-and-so in about 3 years. Wonder whatever happened to her. We need to be concerned with the body. We need to be connected. We need to be in there. And we don't need to be waiting for, you know, well, we got a new program we're starting this month. You know, we don't need to wait for the new program. We just need to do the work of the ministry in the body. And part of that's taking care of the body, okay? Part of it's outside. Part of it's reaching out, but part of it's right here. It's connected. It's learning to discern the Lord's body here in this place and being involved and being a part of it. You know, you think about Elijah. Remember Elijah? He was that prophet of God. I mean, just call down fire from heaven is amazing. But Elijah found a young man that God told him was going to follow him. His name was Elisha. You remember that? Remember the day when God told Elijah, you're coming home with me today. And Elijah told Elisha, said, man, you just need to stay here. I'm going to go on. No, I'm not leaving you, Elisha said. I'm staying with you. Because he knew what was about to happen. He was in touch with the Lord too. He knew that Elijah was about to be caught up to heaven. And one of the most amazing scenes in all of Scripture. And he wouldn't leave him. He wouldn't leave him. And finally, Elisha made this one request. He said, I just want one thing. He said, when you leave here, I want to receive a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of what you got to rest on me. And Elijah said, well, that's kind of a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm caught up, then it's yours. And it was Elisha's. Where are Elijah's today? Where are our people who say, you know what? I'm not willing to sit back while our young people struggle. Young adults having a difficult time. I'm going to be pouring myself into the person or the people that God gives me to minister to. Maybe it's just praying for them. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's just praying and then every time you see them, it's just say, hey, how you doing? Praying for you. I don't know. You know, it could be a lot of different things, but I want to encourage you to stir up the gift. Stir up the gifts. You say, well, what kinds of gifts, are in there? What kinds of things are we talking about? Well, there's all kinds of giftings. You know, there's administration and there's service and there's hospitality and there's faith and there's prayer and there's giving and there's all these different kinds of gifts. Whatever God's put into your heart, do it with all your heart. Stir up, rekindle the fire. Don't let that fire die down. Let it blaze for the glory of God. What we need today are Christians on fire for Christ. Not Christians who are just walking around with a little smoke trailing them. Because I can promise you, if our life can be characterized by that fire, that picture of a fire, I can promise you that the devil's over there on the other side of it with a squirt bottle. He just, you know, giving it all he's got. And he's trying to put out the fire. Well, he can't put out the fire. But he's sure going to do everything he can to minimize it, to dampen it. And look, I think we know where we are. We live in a dark world. I mean, you see the stories every week just like I see them. A little newborn baby whose face is nearly eaten off by rats, while the parents are too drugged out to even know what's going on. It took hours for this to happen. That's the world we live in today. I mean, I'm sorry. I'd like to, you know, just, oh, everything's wonderful and you're good and oh, we're all good and everything's good and just find that wonderful you within you and be, you know, I mean, just, no. We're messed up. We live in a darkened, crazy world that needs light and it needs heat and it needs the joy of Christ. And I can promise you this, there's somebody in your life. I don't know who it is, but there's somebody in your life that only you can be that light for them. There's no other person. Pastor can't do it. Pastor's not in their life. The pastor doesn't work with him. Pastor's not in their family. The pastor's not their brother-in-law. And they need somebody to shine the light of Christ. I want to encourage you to stir up the gift. Don't settle for the status quo, for the minimum. Just do the bare minimum. Just get by. Because that's where a lot of people end up in the, not just in their work life and in the family life, but in the Christian life. Just do enough to say you've done it and got your name on the roll and hopefully you make it to heaven when you die. No. That's not it. That's not what we've been put here for. We've been put here to make an everlasting difference in the lives of people. So, now there's a lot of areas that we could talk about that Paul was challenging Timothy about, and we really don't know. You know, was there some specific thing that Timothy was struggling with? Well, maybe because of what he tells him here. He goes on in this passage. He says, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And that word there means cowardice. God has not created us and called us to be cowards. But let's call it what it is. When we're knuckling under to this world and to the enemy, when we're shutting our mouth because we're afraid of what somebody's going to think or say, we're cowards. And God didn't do that in us. That's not what God has given us. He's given us something that's so much better. He said He's given us power and love and a sound mind. And I think the only one of those that we might debate is the sound mind part. But that's only because we know each other pretty well. Well, I want to ask you this morning. Is the fire going out? Is the fire going out? Because you know it. You know what the fire's been like this week. I mean, I'm not talking about the Sunday morning fire. I'm talking about the Monday morning fire. I'm talking about the Tuesday afternoon fire. I'm talking about the Friday night fire. I'm talking about the fire in your heart for God, the hunger for God, the passion for Christ. Is the fire going out in your life? Because if it is, it needs to be rekindled. You need to stir it up. You need to stir it up. Don't live in that place. It's a dark place. It's a cold place. And it's a place where people are perishing without the good news. There are people who are dying without Christ. We say we care. We say we believe in a literal hell and a literal heaven. And we say we believe that souls are going to die and stand before God in judgment. But I think what we do reveals what we believe. If you really believe it, you're going to do something. Because faith is not sitting on your duff. Faith is not sitting back and well, the pastor, this person, the youth pastor, the deacons, whoever, they're supposed to do the work. No. Rekindle the fire. Stir it up. You know, every fire, I don't know about you, I kind of like fire. And every fire I've ever built, just about, though, you build it and it doesn't stay the same. Have you noticed that? And you might think you just build a fire and then you just go off and leave it and it's just burning there forever. It doesn't work that way. It has to be cared for. It has to be tended. It has to be fed. And sometimes you just have to come and stir it up a little bit. And you have to kind of move it around and get those sticks and those chunks of wood and get everything to where it gets good airflow and it can really begin to burn hot again. I want to encourage you this morning. We need to move some things around in our life. There's some things we need to throw out. There's some things we need to pull in. There's some things that we need to stop. There's some things we need to start. But these are things that nobody can do for you. You are your own person before God. And you've got to take responsibility and you've got to begin to do this. No one can do it for you. I want to invite you this morning to stir up the fire. Just begin to stir it up. I remember when we had a fireplace there at the house, and Mom would say, grab that poker and stir up that fire. It's starting to get cold in here. And that fire, that old fireplace didn't reach very far back into that house. It didn't provide a lot of heat, but it sure helped. And then you'd get all toasty on that front of that fire best you could, and then you'd run and jump in bed before you lost all that heat. Some of y'all remember that. Others of you looking at me like, must be an old person thing. Yeah, that's it, Matthew. I want to encourage you this morning. Stir up the fire. Don't be content. Don't be content to just let those flames just die down, die down, die down. Stir it up. This world needs you. Our Lord needs you. You say, well, God doesn't need anybody. God doesn't need... Well, you know what? It's funny about that. On one hand, no, He doesn't need anybody. But on the other hand, He's committed to working through the body. And in that sense, yes, He needs you. So I want to invite you this morning, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, I don't think there's a better thing we could do than to stir up the fire. Just get in there and stir it up and see what's happening. Lord, why are we not as on fire for You as we once were? Why are we not as excited about the things of God as we used to be? Well, preacher, that was back when I was younger. We get all pumped up at camp or during revival or something, and it just didn't last. Well, why didn't it last? I want to suggest it's because we hadn't been stirring that fire. We hadn't been rekindling that fire, feeding it. Let's bow our heads. Christian, if you're here today and God's calling you to stir up the fire, you know it. You know, because He's the one speaking. And I want to encourage you just to take this moment. And here's what I would say to you. The first thing is surrender. Because what happens in a Christian's life that the fire begins to die out as we begin to want to take control of things. But everything that we take control of begins to die because the life of Christ is not flowing into it and through it. And I want to encourage you this morning to surrender to Christ. Every part of your life, every relationship, every need, every job concern, every health concern, every financial need, everything. Bring it to Him. But there's some specific areas probably that you're dealing with that you just need to give to the Lord. Say, oh God, I need You. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Surrender to Him. And as you surrender to Him, turn back to Him. Just turn back. Turn away from the direction you've been going and turn to Him. We call that repentance, but it's just getting our eyes right. Putting our eyes in the right place. Seeing the right thing. And then one more step. Surrender to Him. Turn back to Him. But the third one is just this. It's trust Him. Trust Him. He knows. He knows where you are. He knows your frustrations. He knows your needs. Father, I pray for every person here. Every believer, I pray You'll call them to Yourself. And I pray that You will rekindle a flame in their heart and in their soul. Father, I pray You would do a work in them right now. You would help them and enable them to surrender every area of their life that they've been trying to work out on their own. They've been trying to do it their way. Oh, Father, help us to turn from that folly. Confess our sin to You in this moment, God. Help us to turn back to You. To put our eyes on You, Jesus. Father, help us to trust You. To believe You. In this moment, I just invite you to answer His call. God's calling you to stir up the fire. Go to Him. Go to Him. Make an altar right there where you are. You can come to the front. Whatever God puts on your heart, you do it.